From the Kramer Basketball Headquarters in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you are listening to the Coach's Edge Podcast, powered by CoachesEdge.coach. Here is your host, Steve Kramer.
Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast, brought to you by CoachesEdge.coach and KramerBasketball.com. Excited to get after it today. Six questions that you can ask yourself if you're scouting a team that plays a zone defense. A team that plays a zone defense. This will help simplify some things for you when you're watching video, team plays a zone, and you can ask yourself some basic questions to help you be a little more efficient and more organized with what you're doing. But this time of year, as we get into league play, really important that we are very efficient with our time. It seems like we don't have enough time, right, between games and practices and being efficient with our practices, not trying to run down our players. Sometimes players are getting sick, coaches are getting sick, and just that time of year where a lot of stuff is going on. So the more we can be effective by asking ourselves the right questions a lot of times, the better off we're going to be. So six questions to help yourself with a zone defense. And if you're watching this and you like what we have going on with the podcast, with putting some of the videos on YouTube, subscribe, rate, review. This stuff is obviously free, but the time that we put into it is not. We're doing it for the love. We're doing it for the love of the game and, trying to make a positive impact through basketball. So subscribe, rate, review. All those things go a really long way. And one thing, update that I want you to know is starting in February, there's 29 days in February. I think it's a leap year or something like that. We're doing a video every single day. So there'll be 29 videos, one each day, coming out on our Kramer Basketball YouTube page. And they'll be about 5 minutes long. And it'll be a couple drills focused predominantly on ball handling, because this time of year, you don't have access to the gym. Maybe you don't have access to a hoop, but you have a basement. If you can dribble the basketball around the house with minimal space, we're going to give you a video every single day that you can do right along with me. Some of these will be a little more towards youth. Some of these will be a little more kind of in the middle. Some will be a little more advanced. So make sure to stay up to date to that. If you're a coach listening, I mean, there's so many great things on YouTube, but I think that we do a really good job of explaining why you're doing something and not just how you do something. Like, I think anybody who's like training, they can show you how to do something, but to understand why and a little more of the background, the purpose behind it, I mean, that's the key for us as athletes. And I try to explain that within the videos that we do and obviously this podcast as well. So stay tuned for that. We're doing a lot of youth basketball stuff. I'm a youth basketball coach in one league, as I mentioned in previous podcasts. We just kicked off our youth basketball 3-on-3 program. And I'm just so excited. We got a great group in our 3-on-3 program this year, and I'm excited to see how much they improve. It's amazing how fast young people can improve at something. You know, throughout the majority of the year, the most players I work with is high school players. We work with about 2,000 players a year through our camps and our clinics and our training. The majority of those 2,000 are high school athletes, and then it goes junior high, and then it kind of goes down to fifth grade is really the lowest level I work with, except this youth basketball league. I mean, we're working with third graders, we're working with fourth graders. Occasionally, we'll do like a summer camp with, you know, some third and fourth graders throw in, but not very often. So getting back to this younger level that I don't work with as much is just a cool reminder of how fast we can see improvement and growth, even in, you know, 3 days a week with some of these kids. Some days it's fewer, some days it's more. Kids that work hard, kids that listen, you're explaining the details, you're teaching the game. Sometimes for some of them, the game is brand new. But for kids to be able to pick up their coordination skills, have fun, and then to be able to actually improve with their carrying out the skills of the game is just really, really cool to see. It's cool to see it obviously transfer into gameplay, whether that's a 3-on-3 game, whether that's a 5-on-5 game, and talking about some of the differences there. I mean, at youth basketball, I'm still partial to 3-on-3, running a 3-on-3 league. combined with seeing the 5-on-5 and coaching there, there's just a lot more reps that kids can get in playing 3-on-3. And because of the space, they're allowed to try out their skills in a way that allows them to be, I think, a little bit more effective, which helps build some confidence, and it's fun. So that's one thing. But anyway, we're getting back into zone. Let's talk a little bit about zone. First question that I would ask, what is the formation, right? And so as we go into these six questions, I mean, you might not even say that's one of the questions. That's very so obvious, right? What's the formation of the zone? Is it a 1-3-1? Is it a 2-3? Is it a 1-1-3? We're going to have a podcast coming out with Coach Jeff York later about a 1-1-3 defense, a 3-2 defense matchup. I mean, there's so many different zones. What's the formation of the zone? That's question number one. And then two is, when do they use it? Is this a primary defense or is this a secondary defense? If it's a secondary defense, when does the coach have the tendency to use it? Is it after a timeout? Is it after a free throw? Is it after a make or a miss? Is there some type of variation that comes after they press? They'll press and then they'll go back into a zone, they'll press and then go back into a man. When are they using this type of zone defense? When I coached eighth grade basketball for a year, we played all man to man, except every once in a while when the other coach would call timeout, I'd be okay. They call timeout, they're on offense, and we'd run a zone for a possession. Little things like that, right? Tendency is you're watching film. And if you're watching film, you say, okay, generally after a timeout, this coach, even though they run man, they like to run this 2-3 zone. You're prepared for that as an option. Very important to understand when they like to jump into it, especially if it's a secondary defense. Question number three, is it aggressive or is it conservative? We have one of our coaches, edge members, playing a 2-3, but it's a really aggressive 2-3. Even bringing the 2-3 zone, those top two players out to half court and pressuring those bottom corners up to the wings, right? Bringing the bottom player in the middle, kind of filling them up, not as high as the players coming up to the wings, but you know, coming up to the level of some of those lower players, pushing down, trying to get the player to speed up on the dribble and even throwing some traps in with the 2-3. Or you could see a 2-3 zone, and it's one of the most conservative, protect, keep the ball in front. We're just going to try to get the rebound. We're not going to cause any turnovers. Is it a aggressive or a conservative defense? Now we're not talking about the pros and cons of you're running this defense, but you know, I like to remember when I played in high school, we had a really big team. You know, we weren't going to cause a lot of turnovers because we weren't necessarily the fastest team, but we were big. And so we played a 1-3-1. It was an unusual defense, especially at that time, but we just kept the ball in front, limit you to one shot, and we were going to get the rebound. That's how we played defense. Wasn't great for speeding teams up, the way we played our 1-3-1, but it was a conservative defense. We keep the ball in front. We contest a shot. We get the rebound and we go down. Is it an aggressive or conservative defense? Number four, this goes along with the previous question. Is it a trapping zone? And if so, where are the traps? Is it a trapping zone? And if so, where are the traps? Are they more towards half court? When you cross half court, are they more towards the wing? Are they more towards the corner? Is there something where the ball gets into the post and they like to double the post? Where are the traps if they are trapping on the zone? Number five, how far do they extend on the zone? This doesn't mean that this isn't the same as conservative and aggressive. It's not the same, right? You can extend and still be a conservative defensive team because you're not trapping as much, you're not playing the passing lanes as much, but you're still extending, right? You all know, like a 2-2-1 defense press could absolutely be a conservative, like we're just going to slow you down and we're just going to back up, but you're pressing, but it's not aggressive, right? Or you could run a 2-2-1 defense and you're pushing and you're trying to push them up the sideline, you're rotating and you're flying around and you're trapping. Technically, they're both a 2-2-1. Right, but they got very different goals. So as you're scouting this team, how far do they extend? That's a different question then are they conservative or aggressive? But if they extend, then you have to work on playing against an extending defense. And a lot of times that means you're starting your offense from a little bit farther out. And a lot of teams are not comfortable starting their offense from farther out than they practice against. And this throws a lot of teams through the loop. It's amazing how often an offensive team will struggle if they simply have to start their offense a little bit farther out than they're used to. Got to practice against that. Are you playing against the team that is doing that? How far do they extend on defense? Number six, what are the weaknesses of the zone? I highly, highly encourage you. These questions I'm getting from our Coach's Edge contributor, AJ Burton. He does an awesome job on scouting report, coachesedge.coach. Become a member. You can see that presentation. Even more so, if you're looking to become a better zone offense coach, our 2-3 zone offense course is on coachesedge.coach, and our 1-3-1 zone offense course is on coachesedge.coach. Both put in by Coach Tro. Charlevoix, they're currently 10-1. They're having a great season in Michigan, you know, one of the top teams in their division in the state, which is pretty awesome to see them doing so well. And he's an expert at playing against the zone defense. I certainly wouldn't want to play. I don't want to say too much because I know he's got some of his competitors listening to the podcast, but he's really good against coaching against the zone. And so if you're looking for, okay, you got the questions from this podcast, but you want more detail on actions and spacing and some of the philosophies that you can use to attack a 2-3 zone, join the coachesedge.coach membership. There's like a 9-part video course in the strategy X is no section, and that's worth the membership alone right there. So think about that, especially you get into your league play right now. What are the weaknesses of the zone? That's going to help us how to attack it. Like anything else in life, right? If we're playing against someone, what don't they want to do? What makes them feel uncomfortable? We need to put them in situations where they do what they don't want to do, where they do what makes them uncomfortable. The more we can make them do what they don't want to do, the better off we become. It's simple, but it's true. And that should be our mindset when we're scouting a team and we're looking at what they do with their zone. How can we make them move and rotate in a way that they don't want to? Putting other teams in a position they don't want to be in, that's going to help us. And really very similar to if a team is pressing. What's the formation on a press? When and where do they like to jump it, right? What are the locations of those traps? And you can ask yourself a lot of the same questions that we've just gone over with zone with the formation of a press. So the six questions combined with listen to our previous podcast on scouting man, because a lot of those also tie into any type of defense that you're scouting, not just man-to-man. That's going to give you a great template for the questions to ask yourself when you're playing and scouting a team defensively, right? So these are your six. What is the formation? When do they jump in it? Is it conservative or aggressive? Is it a trapping zone? If so, where are those traps? Where are they rotating from? 5, how far do they extend? 6, asking yourself, what are some of those weaknesses? And then go back to the previous podcast and ask some of those other questions. How does the zone react when it gets to the post, right? How do they guard the post? How do they guard ball screens? You're probably not going to talk as much about some of the off-ball screens, except there's going to be times where you're trying to use those pin screens a lot of times when you're playing a zone. And so how do they guard those situations? How do they communicate? Is there a weakness there where you can start to pin some of the defenders, say, in the corner, fill a person behind, and then get some open shots in those situations as well? All important questions for us to ask ourselves when we're playing against a zone team, right? So I hope that you found this quick hitter episode beneficial. We got some great interviews coming up, but I wanted to spend some extra time on scouting reports and literally just going off of some of the cool stuff we have inside our coachesedge.coach membership. That I know it's a busy time because, you know, if you're a varsity coach, you're probably trying to do something with the youth program. you're coaching your varsity team, you're obviously in charge of the JV team, your junior high coaches, all these different things. There's a lot of off-court stuff that you have to deal with throughout the course of the year, which as rewarding as that is, it's still very tiresome. I was got a text from a coach late last night. He's like, "I'm just tired, brother. I'm tired." I get it. I understand. It's a grind, right? I'm doing youth basketball with two different leagues and coaching. And even that's not as intensive. That's not nearly as intensive as being a varsity coach, right? And I'm in charge of a basketball league. Varsity coach is probably in charge of league two, and they're coaching their team, right? It's a tough thing, but remind yourself why you're doing it. You're doing it for the love of the game. You're doing it for the kids. You're doing it for the community, the positive impact that you can make. And, you know, my hope with the podcast, and especially with our membership site, coachesedge.coach, is to help you save some time and to kind of be a virtual assistant coach, where if you're looking for a resource, well, we got it for you already. And if you're looking for another opinion, I'm here to help, right? We have members around the country that I'm serving, right? If you're looking for somebody to ask questions and pick their brain, who's not on your staff, I think it's great to have an outside perspective. I can be that person for you. So trying to find ways that I could serve coaches doing what I love to do, because just like you are a coach and you're trying to serve your team, you know, my passion is to serve players and to serve coaches. That's what I absolutely love to do. It gets me so fired up to do that. So if you need anything, please reach out to me. It's contact@cramerbasketball.com. Follow us on our social medias. I already mentioned our Cramer Basketball YouTube channel. Cool video series coming out in February. Cramer B-Ball on Twitter, or at Coaches Edge 1 on Twitter. Two separate accounts right there that we'll try to put other resources and updates on the site as well. Thank you for listening to the Coaches Edge podcast. Get after it today.